May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Now, I've got a four-page sermon, but there's quite a few children this morning, so I thought I might just tone it down a bit. What do you think? Is that an idea? So if you want the heavy version, you can go online, and I'll put it online, and Putnell will get it. So if you really want the heavy version, go and listen to the Putnell, because there won't be any children over there. So I've just come back from Scotland. Country, beautiful country, Morag, beautiful country. And I was fishing. And, of course, this morning in our Bible reading, which was read to us very well, it's all about Peter. And Peter was somebody who was a fisherman. And, of course, we remember Peter today as the patron saint of fishermen. And he owned a boat. It's quite important that he owned a boat. Because if you owned a boat in those days, that meant that you employed people. So he was not just a fisherman, but he was also a businessman. He knew about taxation from the Romans. He understood all about having to give people orders, tell them what to do. The boat was quite big. They say that you could have 12 people working on one of these big fishing boats. And he caught lots of fish, like we did last week. It was big. I was doing this subconsciously, Richard. Subconsciously, I was doing that. And he was a patron saint of fishermen. And and Jesus said to him, because when he called him, he was called Simon. He was originally called Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, I'm going to call you not Simon, but Peter or Petros. Because Petros means rock. And on that rock, I'm going to build my church. And Peter became what the Roman Catholics believe is the first bishop of Rome, the first in a succession of men who've led the church. Men who've led the church. Some think there might have been some women in there as well, we don't know. But certainly he was the foundation of the church. But there's some things we remember Peter for which are not very good, actually. In the Bible, we know a lot about Peter, but some of the things they talk to say about Peter are not very good things. Can anyone think about things that we know about Peter that are not very good? Any stories about the Apostle Peter that show him in a rather bad light, really? Janet?
Well, when Jesus was taken before the courts of King Stephen, they were going to crucify him, Peter denied knowing him.
Yes, that's right. So when Jesus was arrested and taken before the high priest, Peter denied Jesus three times. That's an interesting thing, this. Because they arrested Jesus and they took him away to the high priest's house. He was the nasty man. And Peter followed. Now, if Peter had been a coward, he'd have run away, wouldn't he? He'd have gone home and hidden himself away. But he didn't. He followed Jesus. And he was outside the place where Jesus was being arrested, where Jesus was arrested. And they came up to him and they said to Peter, you knew Jesus. And Peter said, oh, I didn't. How do you think they thought that Peter knew Jesus? How do you think they spotted that he might have been a friend of Jesus? Anyone know? He was a Galilean. What's specific about a Galilean? He was a northerner. He spoke in a certain way. Is he? John Snow. Yes. He would have said grass, not grass, you see. So then he said, we know who you are. You're a friend of Jesus. And Peter said, oh, no, I'm not. And they asked him three times. He said no. But if you think about it, he wasn't a coward. He was trying to be where Jesus was. He was trying to follow Jesus, make sure Jesus was okay. And what had happened just before they had arrested Jesus? What happened when they arrested Jesus? Does anyone know what Peter did? Vera, you're on the money this morning. you read the commentary. You're ahead of me. This is interesting. When Jesus was arrested, Peter had a sword. And when they tried to take Jesus, Peter chopped the ear off one of the men who was with the high priest. It was a man called Malchus. And Jesus said, no, don't chop his ear off. Well, it was a bit late then. So Jesus healed the man's ear. It was amazing. It's quite interesting because the alarm went off last night at church about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was fast asleep, having just come back from my holidays. And Corinne said, go on, sort it out. So I ran out of the house, half dressed, and I thought, oh, what if there's somebody over there who's naughty, who might do me harm? So I equipped myself with a Rottweiler and a big truncheon. So I came running over, and the sermon was in my mind. Because I thought to myself, what if I get over there and there's somebody sort of, you know, pinching something of value in the church, like one of my old sermons or something like that. What if there's someone over there? And I thought, am I going to hit them with my truncheon? And what would Jesus say if I hit them with my truncheon? He'd say, don't do it, didn't he, Vera?
Yeah,
he said, don't. Well, then I might get hit. That wouldn't be very good. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I actually thought I would hit them as hard as I possibly could. If I needed to. I would talk to them first. Then I would probably defend myself. I don't think Jesus was upset so much about the fact that Peter tried to protect him. I think what it was, that Peter misunderstood what Jesus' ministry was all about. Because Peter was the first person to realise that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the King. He was the first person to realise that. But he thought that that meant that you wielded authority and power, like the Romans did. And that what Jesus was going to do is just replace that body of authority with a new one. And Jesus said, no, that's not why I've come at all. I've come to bring a different kind of a kingdom. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom where the poor are valued, where the sick are looked after, where we care for one another. And it's not just about the biggest gets the most. And it was a hard lesson for Peter to learn that Jesus was saying, I've come to bring a new way of doing things, a new way of living. He wasn't upset that Peter tried to protect him. He just said, look, I've got to go and be arrested. This is part of what I'm about. I'm not here to overthrow the Romans. I'm going to be crucified. And if you remember, after Peter confessed who Jesus was, Jesus said, I'm going to have to be crucified. And Peter said, no, that can't happen to you. And Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't think he was calling Peter Satan. It was like another temptation that Jesus was going through. A temptation to live in a different kind of way, be a different kind of king. And Jesus would have nothing of that. And you know, Peter eventually learned this, and he became a foundation of the church. He led the church. Tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down under Nero, which was a terrible thing to happen to him. It also tells us that Peter had a wife. When he went on his missionary tours, he took his wife with him on a missionary tour. Think about what she gave up to help Peter in that work. We don't know her name, but we do know how important she was. And she gave up her life, her business, all that they'd you know, got together as a couple. She gave it all up. And I was thinking to myself, when you say you are the Christ, if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that had implications for Peter. He had to leave his home, had to leave his business, had to live this incredible life. Had implications for his wife, had implications for everybody. If we say you are the Christ, what implications does that have for us? And what do we believe that means that God is calling us to do? If Jesus is more than just a good person or a great leader or a great teacher, if he is the Christ, that has implications for how we spend our time, our money, our energy, everything. Has implications for every one of us in the same way that it had for Peter. It's only a short life that we live, isn't it? Valerie Capon this morning gave me a list of the role of all the people who were founder members of St. Mark's. Some of you are still here. You're on it, Linda. But I looked down the list and, you know, probably 3/4 of the people aren't here anymore. They've gone before us to glory. It's a very short life, this, so we have to make the most of it. And the time that we're given to make sure that when we say you are the Christ, we use our time wisely. Because our life is too soon over, like our holidays. Amen.